morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the translation and transliteration of contact data call on the 9th of April. And on the call, we have Chris Dillon, Jim Galvin, Pascal Haddad, Peter Rintfors, Petinan Kilmore-Patana, Sarah Boki, and for staff, we have Julie Headland, Lars Hoffman, Yolanda Jimenez, and myself, Glenn the Century. I just want to look on the call to see if I've missed off anybody. I think everybody is on the call that is on the Adobe Connect. May I just remind you, please, to say your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And may I also note the apologies that we have for today. The apologies are from Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Wen Zai, and Peter Dernbach. Has anybody else perhaps received apologies from other members? I think Rudy has got a conflicting call, so may not be on this call, so we might perhaps note him as an apology if he's not on this call. Thank you, Chris, and I think that is now over to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And yes, Rudy emailed earlier to say that he's got a clash, so yes, that certainly counts as an apology. All right, well, before we head into the meatier parts of the agenda, let's just get rid of the statements of interest points. So I need to ask you if anybody has changed statement of interest since the last call, if you could mention that now. Okay, it's seeing nothing in the chat room and hearing nothing, that means we can move forwards. And I'll just do a very brief introductory bit, because we've basically what we're doing today is having the last look at the public comment review tool, which you've got on the screen. So that's the first main item. And then the second one is to have a look at the new version of the work plan. And I think it's likely that we'll want to make some minor changes to that, in fact. But it's just sketching out what we'll be doing over the next few weeks. And we'll also, at the same time, because it's such a major part of it, just mention one or two things about what's happening with the final report. But we'll talk about those at greater length later. All right. Well, let us start with the review tool. And I am fairly sure we have looked at this in some detail as far as number 70, and in fact we've also talked about it, but it's just that you haven't seen the typed up comments from number 70 onwards. So it's really just a matter of perhaps, you know, we could just scroll down slowly in case anybody would like to raise anything before number 70, but I think probably most of the things may be asked around about that. So, actually, I'm just noticing I don't have control of it, so if somebody who does have control just gets us down slowly to number 70, that would be good. Ah, yes, Amma is asking for the desyncing as well, so that we've right. That is being quite slow to respond today. I mean, actually, I was involved in the drafting process of this document, so I don't think I have very much to say about it at all. But you know, as I was saying earlier, it is our last opportunity. Ooh, it is jumping round. Yeah, somebody is. I think somebody may have control of it. What would be really good would be just to sort of scroll down slowly, and then we need to go even more slowly after number 70. That's the idea. Yes, that is perfect. So just scan, read, and just be on the lookout for anything that you haven't seen before, or anything that perhaps has been left out. But I think we need to be particularly careful towards the end. And in fact, one of the things we'll do is, as we there has been some work going on the final draft already the last couple of days, and we will be adding edits from this and numbering them in the document. So that will just make it rather easy to know where the edits are coming from. So that's really part of the editing process. And I'm now able to scroll, and I'm just really doing what I was suggesting, and that is just heading down towards number 70. So if anybody would like to pick anything up, then please do so. Yes, and Amma is requesting that the edits to the final draft are redlined, and yes, they are. So originally there was a version which had a lot of formatting highlighted as well, but we've now got a version where we've got the substantial changes highlighted and the formatting not highlighted, because there's no point in doing that. Okay, so... I'm not sure whether you're able, whether you're seeing what I'm seeing now. I'm round about 26. Um, 33 now.
Hi, Chris, this is Amr.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it would be helpful right now that if we could just have a document in front of us desynced, that we could all jump to number 70 and zoom in or out.
Right, yes. I think we may have strange things happening today. I'm able to move up and down, but I'm not sure whether you're seeing the numbers I'm seeing, or if you don't have control, then... This is quite difficult. Unless you have paper copies.
This is Lars. If I can just bust in, Chris, I made you a presenter in the Adobe room. So in theory, what you see, everybody else sees. So it's
That's exactly. Thank you, Patty. Yes, that's true. So that's great. So we're all on the same page, quite literally. Yeah, okay. So I'm just continuing this scan reading effectively. And I will go especially slowly when we get to number 70. There is an icon top right which allows you to go full screen, but the problem then is that you can't see the chat room. So I think this may be the best approach, and we're down to number 50 or so now. Okay. All of this stuff I believe you've seen before, but we made edits on the 12th and the 19th of March. I think on the 12th of March we started with number 70. very close to the magic number now. Count all that many edits down here anyway. Right, okay. So, as far as I know from number 70, you know, this is stuff that I have, you know, I've seen and I've edited, but we haven't had any criticism of it, so just be very, very sure that you're happy with what you're seeing from this point on. Got down to about number 72. Just hoping that this is reflecting the discussions we had on those various calls. Down to about number 77 now. About that. Right, I actually reckon we are at the end, so we might be what we could do is so Lars is saying I'm happy to unsync, but then we won't see what Chris sees. Okay, actually at this point I think we probably can desync because we've now scrolled right down through it. And there haven't been any comments, so I think at this point perhaps if we do desync, people can have a couple of minutes looking through it and just check that there's nothing that they would like to pick up. I mean, I'm slightly labouring this, but I think it is important that we sign it off officially like this. And, you know, the other thing is I realize it's quite difficult to do this sort of work on a call, but if people miss something, then perhaps if any final comments could be made by 2400 hours UTC this evening, that would be really good, and then we can just move on. Jim, would you like to raise something? Sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Thanks, Chris. Jim Calvin for the transcript. Just a process question. How is this going to be included in the final report? Are we just going to, you know, put this chart in just like this? Will there be any additional, rewrites or summary paragraphs or something that are done? Just curious as to what the next step is once we decide that this chart more or less represents what we want it to. Thanks.
Okay, well that's a neat transition into the next part of the agenda, really. That was really the next thing I was going to say. The answer is both. So, yes, at the end of the final report, the complete comment review tool will be appended, so it will be there as is, but it will also, the various comments from the review tool will be added to the report, and when those additions are made, the numbers that they refer to will be used. Now, sometimes the same thing comes up in more than one place, so that sort of slightly confuses it, but that's basically the idea, and some work has been done along those lines already, so I'm speaking about something I've seen, and that approach seems to have worked rather nicely, because the new text in the final draft, which is based on the initial draft, you can trace it back to the tool quite easily. Petter, would you like to raise something at this point?
Petter here. Yes, I just have a question when it comes to points 74 and 75, whether it's just a reference to number 22. Going back to, going back to number 22.
Okay.
Would that be, shall we read it that is accepted if it is, if it's a recommendation, or how do you propose that we should understand that reference to number 22?
Okay, I think the main thing here is that I think the likelihood is that the language used will be supported by. So it's the language supported by the, I think it's usually the registrar. So I think all three of these are pointing at that. So that's the most likely outcome of this.
So Petri again. I don't really. Got it. Is it to be read that what the possible solutions in 74 and 75, that is something that could be included in recommendations?
There is actually a bigger point here because at the moment we have included the recommendations in the first draft of the final report, but there was a bit of a debate about whether that was the best way of doing it. So it would also, because it is just, we are aware that part of it needs a lot of work. So another way of working may be to have the recommendations separate, but at the moment the version that exists does have the recommendations included. So there is that aspect.
Yeah. So maybe just for me, but I think it could be clearer to add just a short sentence that explains it, the working group's response a little bit more. Clearer than just the reference to number 22.
Certainly I'm realizing on the call that that it is a bit cryptic, so we're certainly happy to update that part of the tool. Lars, would you like to pick up something there?
Thank you, Chris. This is Lars. Just to pick up the point very quickly that Petter just raised, to clarify, I completely agree, first of all, yes, it's a little bit cryptic and we should be more clear about what is meant here. I believe what is meant is that the first bullet point was raised by the IPC in 74 and also raised slightly differently in 75, namely that whose information should be in the language of the registrar. And or in 75, as it says, is used for the registration data to that of the TDLC itself, or else use ASCII. And I think the reference to 22 is that we initially recommended in the initial report that contact information data should be supplied and displayed in a language supported, operated under which the registrar operates. And we clarified, through focus comments, was clarified that what Cherie says supported by. So I think what we're saying here with C note 22 is that if the recommendation were to be changed to in the language that is supported by the registrar, that would address some of the concerns raised in 74 and 75. So I think I also addressed Petter's note in the chat. And just for Amma, just very quickly, Amma, you said a good idea to provide a link to the initial report with the common review tool folks can cross-check. Do you mind if I put you on the spot, do you mean a link directly here in the tool itself or just a reference to say, see page 22 of, I'm making up the number obviously, but see page 22 of the initial report?
Thanks for the question, Lars, this is Amma. I'm just thinking because the language in the final report will have changed significantly, so if people reading it and reading the appended public comment review tool won't necessarily be able to cross-check the comments submitted and the working group responses with anything that is actually in the final report. So if a link to a copy of the initial report could also be provided along with this, so that people could also check that and cross-reference what's in the review tool along with what's in the initial report. It may be easier for people to sort of see how the working group responded to their comments in the initial report, or even if it's just a third party who didn't submit comments but was interested to learn more. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you, Amma.
Thanks.
Thank you, and I don't think there's any problem whatsoever with doing it, because certainly it is interesting to watch how these changes happen, and so a link to the initial report would work there. Okay, now, I'm just wondering, have we actually dealt with all of these comments in the chat room? Yes. So there's a conflict between number 74 and 22, which I think were picked up, and 75 and 22 also. To be honest, not sure what to make of 75. Right, okay. And still, and Amma is pointing out that recommendations are still subject to a post-expert working group PDP. All right. So I wonder whether there are any other things that people would like to pick up in the tool, or whether we can move into just talking about the work plan. Okay. So, Amr, would you like to raise something?
Thanks, Chris Sommer. It's more of a generic sort of comment on what the working group recommendations may or may not be. I have to say I'm a bit disappointed with the sort of binary approach we're taking to answering our charter questions. I would have liked for us to at least have to explore options that where the responses by the working group and the review tool would not consistently show up, as most working group members agree. It feels to me that we haven't really explored any sort of middle ground that everyone may find to be appealing. I'm not necessarily sure how this could be done, but we have always approached things as a in terms of kind of getting a yes or no answer, and advantages of yes versus disadvantages of no, and vice versa. And since we're pretty much wrapping up the review of public comments, I was wondering if there is any intent to attempt to do so, or if there are any ideas on how to go about that at all. That would be helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Amma. Strangely enough, there was a preparatory call today with ICANN staff, and this was one of the main this is one of the main issues that came up. And to cut a long story short, we are aware of this, and we are very much thinking of ways to get around this, and whether there are ways to approach perhaps people who historically or still do tend towards the mandatory transformation point of view. We haven't made a final decision on how that will happen. I mean, possibly it may happen on the mailing list, and so we may have a debate and just actually ask people how do you stand about this. For example, is it likely that a minority report may be necessary? But we've only really just started talking about this, so that's not necessarily the best way forward. But there was, by coincidence, there was a discussion about this earlier. Amr, would you like to pick up something there?
Well, thanks, Chris. This is Amr again. Yeah, certainly it is the right of any member of the working group to request that a minority report be submitted along with the final reports. I was just hoping that maybe we could try to avoid that somehow by incorporating a something that may mitigate the need for a minority report. And to be honest, I don't exactly recall the specific contents of, for example, the public comments submitted by ALAC. But I do distinctly remember that ALAC would have budged from their initial position of requiring mandatory transformation in the input they provided early on when this working group had sought input from the community when we were first starting our work. Unfortunately, we don't have ALAC participants or any at-large participants in this working group. But I would think it might be a good idea to try to just explore some options, and I recognize that the majority of the working group do not support mandatory transformation, but there must be something we can try to do to also address some of the concerns presented, for example, by the IPC, to try to reach some form of full consensus on recommendations that we provide. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much. I think all of that is really desirable. Petter, would you like to raise something?
Thanks. What I just wanted to throw out and see what you think about it is that if it could be good and clear for us all to just send out these 95 points again to the full group and add the line where we can just easily note yes or no, or if we don't have any specific decisions yet, to see clear what of the topics we are 100% agreed about, and also more clearly see where we're disagreeing, and how the majority and the minority looks on each topic. I haven't seen it before, but it seems that it could be, if we do it and give us all like until next week to do it, it could be a more clear document where we see where we stand. And from that also have hopefully just a handful of questions where we need to have a majority and minority document. Thanks.
Thank you, Petter. Yes, that would seem to be That would seem to be one way of doing the sort of thing that was being discussed earlier. So I'm very interested in that. Jim, would you like to raise something?
Thank you, Chris. Jim Galvin for the transcript. I guess I want to just try to state maybe somewhat clearly here, you know, my view about this in response to, you know, apologize now. I think it's Amr who was talking about trying to respond more directly to the question of, you know, mandatory transformation or not. You know, my view is people talk about the cost and we put that out there. But I think that what we have in our document, and maybe there's an opportunity to restructure our words in some way to reflect this more directly, the reasons why you don't do mandatory transformation just seem more compelling to me than the reasons why one would want to. You don't do it, you know, beginning with the idea that the registrant, you know, may not simply be able to provide it. If you look for automated systems, you don't do it because you just don't have the accuracy that you need. And that is a compelling requirement these days for registration data. But I do think that we could, perhaps as a response to the need for transformation, maybe more directly redirect the question or the desire for mandatory transformation in the direction of tagging the data so that transformation has at least the opportunity to be more accurate when those tools and those kinds of services become better at what they do. We do actually say that in a couple of places. It's not really within our remit to make that a recommendation, but maybe, at least in my view, I think that's a critical point that maybe we could find a way to highlight a bit more. And I think that responds really quite directly to this desire and this strong desire to have mandatory transformation, you know, reflecting on lack of accuracy in the tools and instead suggesting that we need to move in a direction to support those tools. And, you know, the tagging is the key part that moves us in that direction. So I hope that helps. Just some thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you. There is some concern that tagging effectively. Maybe my understanding here is wrong, but the way I understand tagging is that tagging is a way of telling people which language this data is in, and it probably has to be done by field. But in some ways, I think tagging is actually a tool, and there may be problems with tagging as a tool. So there is a possibility that we may do better, rather than to specify this determination of the language must be done by tagging. It may be better to withdraw and say the outcome that we want is, you know, we want to know what language the data is in, or, you know, it's also the purpose that we want. But tagging may or may not be the best way of getting there. I think that was another thing, strangely, which came up in the preparatory call. But Amr, would you like to raise something at this point?
Yes, thank you, Chris. This is Amr. I just wanted to say that I agree with Jim, very much agree with Jim on his last comment. And I wanted to add to that, and also to what you just said on potential problems involved with tagging the fields regarding what language the data is in. One thing we could do, because we haven't had the opportunity to explore that in depth, although we did consider it, and it was included in our initial report to a certain extent, but since we haven't had the opportunity to explore it in a way that would allow us to make a recommendation. And in addition to that, it was clearly outside of the scope of this PDP to recommend something like that. I think what we could do is, specifically because of those two reasons, what we could do is perhaps recommend, include a recommendation in our final report that the topic of tagging the fields be included within the scope of the post-EWG PDP so that they would take this issue into consideration based on what we've come up with in our work and in our final report. And so that way a more appropriate platform for discussing this issue could be provided there, and it could be something that they could consider. Thanks.
Yes. I mean, certainly, there is no doubt that this determination of what language is in that field needs to be picked up, and it may be that tagging is the best way of doing that. Whilst we're on the subject, just to mention that Unicode itself will get us as far as the script, but unfortunately it does not get us as far as the language, so that's also a relevant part of the background to that. Jim, would you like to continue with this discussion?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chris, Jim for the transcript. I want to just respond a little bit to your comment about tagging as a tool, and I want to say two things. One, when I say tagging, I'm actually referring to being knowledgeable about the language and the script. I think we've kind of had this discussion a little bit in this group, you know, but it is important to always know both things about any particular, string of characters, if you will. But more directly to your comment, I take your point, Chris. You're right. As a technologist, I tend to focus on tagging because that's a solution which is readily at hand. But you're right. In terms of how we phrase it, if we wanted to go down this path in this document, we should take a step back and indicate more directly that knowledge of the language and script of any data is really the requirement that you want, or not that, let me say that differently. Knowledge of the language and script is what we believe is a direction in which to head if you're looking for, you know, transformation services. You need that information anyway to do it. We have our reasons for not making transformation mandatory, but we recognize that for transformation to work at all, you need this kind of thing. And so we don't have to say the word tagging, but reference the requirement in a more abstract sense. And then, as Amr was saying, sort of redirect the efforts for mandatory transformation to, you know, find a way to get that out there so that you have that available for doing transformation at all. And, you know, find a way to suggest that that's a work item that needs further study. There are a lot of issues with tagging from a technical perspective, beginning with whether or not even registrars have that information available to put it with the data and how they might get it. Once it's in the system, you know, everybody can carry it, but getting it is its own set of issues. The new WHOIS replacement, the old WIRDS protocol, we'll certainly make it available if it's there. So the point here is just I take your point, Chris, that we should abstract back from saying tagging and refer to knowledge of language and script. Thanks.
Many thanks for that, Jim. That was an absolutely beautiful summary of the situation I think we're in. Very, very eloquent. Now, one or two things going on in the chat room, I'll just check. Amr saying he's agreeing with Jim, just wondering if we can also somehow address, that's some time ago, address the IPC's concerns. We could have a clear recommendation stating that that this should be included in the issue. Okay, I think this is slightly old, these are slightly old comments, but all right. Okay.
Chris, this is Amr. Jump in here.
Yeah,
my last comment was pertaining to this specific point of tagging.
Okay.
I think we could have a recommendation in the final report expressing I mean, at least portraying that or explaining that this working group did look into tagging as a possible solution for the desire to transform data at some point in the future, but it was but there are too many issues to consider in that regard, and so we would like, or we recommend that this issue be taken up by the post EWG PDP and included in its issues report. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yes, that sounds very practical, and I can see Jim's agreeing in the chat room. So post EWG, right. Okay, so now we should really, I think now is probably the time to switch document and display the work plan. In fact, it's only the last page of the work plan. If we've got technical problems, it wouldn't be the end of the world if we can't. We can't display it, in fact, but at the moment we're on the last page of the existing work plan. What I might do is just put a link in, because that might be quicker for some people. Put the link in the chat room. Horribly long link there. So on the last page of it, it's just sketching out the various stages from now on. So what we have is the initial report. Gradually, comments will be added to it, both from the public comment review tool, also some things from today's conversation. So those will be added, and then the idea is to circulate the report early next week. That may be optimistic, but we will try to do that. And then it's a matter of moving into discussions of it on the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th of April. And in fact, on the 7th of May. And the reason for those five meetings, four meetings discussing the document, is that one possible deadline is the 11th of May. That's the deadline for submission for consideration at the May GNSO Council meeting. So one possibility is that we take that that approach. Now, the other possibility, if for some reason we're unable to make that, now we can actually see all of this in front of us, but it is actually just that last page. So I've got to the 11th of May, which is the middle of that last page. So one possibility is that we do four meetings discussing the document and we try and submit it on the 11th of May. If that doesn't work, I think we probably still are on schedule. My instinct is it might work, but if it doesn't for some reason, if it's more difficult than we expect, then the other possibility is to run those other five meetings in May and early June, because there is another deadline on the 14th of June. So that's a sort of a two possible ways of doing it, either the 11th of May route or the 14th of June route. I am expecting to travel in early May, so that may mean that I can't run either the 7th of May or the 14th of May, but this is probably fairly small beer. I think the other ones I can make. Now, other things that we should consider is that one thing I've started doing is actually anything, I've only used it once so far, but anything which I don't know the answer to, so it's something which we, for some reason I don't know what to do, I am turning magenta. matter. If you see magenta in the document, that that means watch out, this is broken, it needs fixing. So one of the things that the example I can think of is actually I had it a second ago, and the harder I try and remember it, the more it goes. Last help. Do you know the thing I'm talking about? It's the language interfaces. Okay, so there is some language in the initial report which basically says we want to be able to display the fields of the database in as many languages as possible. Now, we know for a fact that as many languages as possible is really bad from a legal point of view. What we don't know is how to fix that. So that's just an example. There are going to be more of these things. So if you see magenta, it just basically means we know it's broken, we just don't know what the solution is. I think I'm also going to use magenta on the heading of the recommendations, because it's not completely clear that the best thing to do is to put them in. But anyway, if we turn the title of the recommendations magenta, what that means is watch out, this is broken, it needs attention. So that's one little trick that, one device that that we'll be putting in there. And another thing you will notice is that there is a brand new section on rationale. We haven't actually decided what our recommendations are going to be, but when we do, there will need to be that new section. And I have drafted a few comments for that which are brand new. So I'm just trying to think of other things I should be... In fact, perhaps I'll have a very quick look at what we did. But I think, in fact, those are the major things. There are huge numbers of small things, and I think there will be more small things because, you know, as we do proofreading and things like that, we'll get quite a few of them. But I've skimmed through it. That is basically the situation as I am aware. But basically, if anybody would like to raise anything about either the work plan you see in front of you or the sort of approach we're taking with the final report, then basically please do that now. All right. I think one thing which is relevant here is this idea. Perhaps we should return to it just briefly, because I think it... Petter mentioned this possibility of circulating the comment review tool and just getting people to yes and no each of the 95 points, because that would that would really make opinions very, very clear. I guess those could possibly go into an Excel spreadsheet as well. I think that is something that might work. I mean, this sort of thing is not my strong point, but as far as I can see, that is a system that really might do us rather well. And, you know, we were certainly saying earlier on in the preparatory call that something like that would be desirable. So I think that is certainly something which... it would at least identify areas where there is disagreement, and at that point we might become, as Amma was saying, interested in non-binary. So, you know, what are things that could be done to make this work? Perhaps that sort of approach. But yes, I think that might work rather well. And in order to do that, we need to set we need to set a deadline so that just before I can see Pascal's got his hand up, but we actually need to think when the deadline. Perhaps we just say the deadline is because we need some time for compiling this into a spreadsheet. The best thing to do would be, well, maybe we do 2400 hours on Tuesday. Tuesday the 14th would be my suggestion, because that gives us enough time to compile that. Okay, Pascal, is there something you'd like to raise? I can't hear you speaking. I think we've got technical problems. No, we can't hear you. It doesn't matter. Type in the chat room. I'll read it out. Pascal is typing. He's very happy to be meeting with us and saying that he's new and has a quick question. It's far away. Amma is giving technical suggestions. Yes, actually, we did, at an earlier stage of the meeting, we did collect, you'll still find small samples of data in the reports. In fact, in the initial report, there is some sample data. But also, if you have a look at the group's wiki, at one point I was collecting data in several languages. I'll just read this out properly. Can't we have a sample of the data with all languages and data cleaning part of the transliteration? That's actually a rather interesting question, because a lot of people say that one solution would be to get volunteers to do transliteration. But the problem there is that nobody is actually cleaning the data, and that is very, very important. If the data isn't clean, it may not be good enough for a lot of the purposes we're discussing. So fundamentally, if transliteration happens, it should happen by as few people as possible. It really needs to be done centrally. In fact, funnily enough, that is in the rationale section, that is something I was writing earlier. The sort of data cleaning part of it tends to be, well, you can do it either way around. You can either have people following rules. So basically, when you transliterate Japanese, you need to follow this set of rules. Or you can do it afterwards and say, well, this piece of transliterated Japanese needs cleaning because they've used SY instead of SH, something like that. And thank you very much, Amma. He's gone digging into our wiki and found the examples. So most of the things we have tried to be really consistent with our use of the wiki, so a lot of things like that will live in there, and certainly other documents that are relevant to us or documents that we've read, they're all in there. Yes, no Arabic. Yes, that's a shame, isn't it? Yes, and Arabic falls into the category of languages where not all of the vowels are represented. So that means that automatic transliteration won't work, because the problem with most Arabic, some Arabic it's different, sometimes they do write the short vowels, but often they don't, and so that means that you tend to just end up with jumbles of consonants and you don't know which vowel to put in there, so as transliteration it doesn't work. And yes, Anna is saying multiple languages use the Arabic script. I think certainly for Persian and Urdu, what I was just saying applies. The Hebrew script is similar to Arabic because often they don't write the short vowels. But interestingly, Yiddish, so Yiddish is another language which uses the Hebrew script, but interestingly, they always write the short vowels. So Hebrew, although it's using the same script, which when it's used to write Hebrew, you've got problems with short vowels. When it's used to write Yiddish, it's totally clear. All of these things are written. Amma's winding me up. He's saying there are no vowels in Arabic. Well, in Buenos Aires, we'll have a slow conversation about that. Okay. I think maybe short vowels. I think the long... Oh yes, wait a minute. Yes. That may be one of the... I'm not totally sure, because certainly for short vowels, there are sometimes sort of dashes that are used in Arabic above and below for I and for A. But actually, Arabic isn't my... It isn't my main thing. A few years ago, I learnt a bit of Urdu, but I think Arabic is rather different. Okay. And Pascal is following up his question. It's mostly about standardizing names and areas and cities. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's actually quite interesting because it's surprising how few large lists there are of geographical places. There is an ISO standard, but it does tend to miss out places. I think Amazon and Patagonia may fall into that sort of problem. And Pascal is picking up the problem with, the same name can be written in many different ways, or transliterated perhaps in many different ways. It's not even totally transliteration because, there is sort of... I think one approach with names is just fundamentally to say that the name is whatever the person says it is. So, like in my case, I say my name is Chris Dillon. I was born Christopher James Dillon, but I only ever use Chris Dillon. And the only way you'd find that out is by talking to me, so that's another approach. So, certainly with personal names, but I think that works with personal names. It probably doesn't work with geographical names. It is quite surprising. I was involved with geographical work a few years ago for ICANN, and it was very interesting to discover that, often one presumes that these lists exist, and they don't necessarily exist. And geographical names is a problem. Even lists of languages is a problem. There doesn't seem to be an authoritative list of languages, which... is it also something which affects us? It would be wonderful if there were such a thing. Okay, and for example, Lebanon is a country in the middle, and exists. Okay, yes. There are also political issues, so geographical places that are recognised by some countries and not by others. Yes, and this is sometimes picked up in that. Relevant ISO. If I was on the ball, I'd be able to give you the number of the ISO, but it's 31599-2. I could be wrong there. It's somewhere around that. Then Amma is picking something up. Yes, we explored such issues. What could also be confusing is if the same person transliterates his name differently when registering domain names with different registrars. One of the many reasons for using the original script is that that gets rid of that sort of problem. Yes, yeah, that's certainly the sort of conversation that we've had. And exists as areas in the US. Yes, the US is quite famous for certainly European place names tend to occur in the US, and then that presents problems over who has first claim on that name, but I'm talking more about other work I was doing earlier. Right. Okay, we're at the top of the hour, and we haven't looked at any other business, so I should just raise that briefly. But let me just recap and say that we are hoping to circulate the first draft of the final report early next week. We're also going to send round the review tool with a column so that you can just say, are you happy with this and that sort of approach. That will be compiled, and so the deadline for that is 2400 hours on Tuesday the 14th. I'll send a reminder round which covers the work plan part of this call. I'll send a summary because it's also useful for people who couldn't attend the call. So I will do that soon in the near future. Okay, if there is any other business, then I think we can wind down, and it looks as if we had some very busy days ahead of us, but that will be a good challenge. Thank you very much for attending today.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.